Welcome to the Copy Dates podcast. I'm your host, Megan Taylor, copywriter, bookworm, and founder of the Copy Template Shop. I believe that anyone can write strong copy, and I'm here to teach you how to write words that sell your online offers while prioritizing real connection, serving your audience, and simply being who you are. I know you have a message that deserves to be heard and unique skills that need to be shared. And in each episode, I'll give you an actionable tip so that you can write better copy, reach more people, and sell your offers in an easy and authentic way. So grab a hot drink and get ready to cozy up with your weekly dose of magnetic messaging and captivating copy. Hey friend, welcome back to the Copy Dates podcast. I'm so excited that you are here and tuning in. This month, I know that so many of us are already making big plans for 2022. What are we going to do? What are we going to create? What are we going to launch? And so you are already kind of in the process of dreaming up and planning some 2022 launches. You are in exactly the right place. If you missed last week's episode, I highly recommend going back and starting with that one, because we are essentially talking about the three stages of any launch planning journey, which is before your launch, during your launch, and after your launch, and all of the things that you can do in these key stages to really, really set yourself up for success. Last week, we talked about some of the things that it's imperative, in my opinion, that you do before you actually launch to really make sure that you are going to be connecting with the right buyers and then converting them. Today, we are going to shift our focus a little bit and talk about what most people, I would say, focus on, which are the things that you can do during your launch to really set yourself up for success. So we're going to talk about the obvious. We're going to talk about the creation phase. So how to come up with messaging and copy that really sparks action and that allows you to stay in your zone of genius as you are creating all of the different assets for your launch. But then we're also going to do something a little bit different. And I think this is probably going to be the biggest takeaway from today's episode and is probably, you know, if you have launched before, maybe these are some of the things that you haven't considered doing, which are things you can actually do while your launch is going on. That's really going to help you stay nimble, stay responsive, and really make sure that you are keeping your audience and your community at the center of your launch. Because so often I see, and I'm guilty of this too. So I want you to know that anytime I'm like, oh, I see these mistakes very often in the online business world, I am guilty of doing them too. So I want to be very clear and transparent about that. But I will see a lot of people who will just create all of the launch assets. They'll deliver their launch event. They'll start sending out the sales emails, going live on Instagram, whatever it may be. And they stick so rigidly to their plan that they're unwilling to kind of change things up, or they don't leave themselves with space to change things up if it appears that their launch actually isn't working and isn't going as planned, or even just the space to take things to the next level. So we're going to talk about those things as well. So we've got a lot of ground to cover. So let's go ahead and dive in. So we're going to talk about that creation phase first, right? How to talk about your offer before you actually launch and write compelling copy that sparks action during the launch itself. So my first tip for you here, and I guess I kind of gave it away a little bit by saying, you know, how to talk about your offer before you launch. But my advice to you is to not just spring your offer on them, okay? Just spring the launch on them. Don't stay mysterious about your offer for too long. I've seen a lot of launch strategies that encourage you to build a wait list and to hint about your offer a little bit and share sneak peeks, but it shouldn't be sneak peeks up until the point that you open your cart. If you are just sharing little tidbits of, here's me behind the scenes working on this offer, or something cool is coming, or I can't wait to launch this and share it with you soon. If you're doing that for 3 weeks straight and then you immediately dive into open cart, of course you're going to hear crickets when you open cart, because you haven't given your audience enough time to actually warm up to the idea that you've created this new thing and that you think it would be great for them and that they should buy it. That is what makes the biggest difference to a successful open cart day. If you have given your audience plenty of notice, if you have given them plenty of time to think about the concept, it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to dish on everything. You don't have to tell them, oh, I've created this 6-module course and it comes with all of these workbooks and all of these extra resources and these coaching calls and blah, blah, blah. You don't have to tell them that necessarily ahead of time. But you do really need to warm them up to the idea that you can solve this particular pain point for them and this problem for them, and that you can deliver the transformation that they're looking for. You really need to warm them up to that idea and then also tell them that something is coming and that you're about to ask them to trade over their money in order to receive that thing. Because otherwise, if you totally blindside them by springing your launch on them, nobody is necessarily going to be ready to buy when you open your cart. So my recommendation to you on that front is about 1 week or potentially more before you actually open the cart for your launch. I always recommend sending at least one heads up email to your list. A lot of the times we'll actually send more than one. A lot of the times we'll send two and they'll have slightly different angles. So maybe we'll send one heads up email that's very factual. You know, this is what's coming. This is who it's for. Cover your who, what, when, where, and why, essentially, right? Who is it for? What is it? When is it actually coming? Why should I give a crap? And then we'll also usually send a heads up email that's more what we would call a personal appeal. So that's where we will tie a little bit more emotion to it. If you listened to last week's episode, this is maybe where we would reveal the vision for our program or for our offer, or share our goal, our external goal with the audience, and really talk about, you know, this is why I've created this. This is why I've launched this. Especially if you followed that initial step of asking your audience what they want ahead of time, you can honestly come into that email and say, look, I know that you've wanted this. I know that you've been asking for it. And so I finally created it for you and I'm super excited. It's coming next week. Keep an eye out on your inbox because the cart is going to open on this date. Okay. The next tip that I have for you is to keep the finer details of your offer that you're launching on your sales page and out of your sales emails. This is something that I will admit took me a little bit longer to learn and to realize. And I'm not quite sure if that's because the way that we consume emails has changed over the last few years as I've been doing these launches. I have nothing against long emails, you guys. A lot of people will ask me, what is the right length for a sales email? As long as it needs to be. Okay. It's not length that I have an issue with. However, if you have created a very well-crafted sales page, if you have written something that, you know, covers all of those objections and all of those hesitations, and you've presented all of your deliverables in a really clear way, please let that sales page do its job. Your sales page is there to convert. Your sales page is there to convince people to buy. The job of your sales email is to simply get somebody to check out your sales page. Should you be, you know, weaving in some sales copywriting best practices into your emails? Without a doubt. But the main goal of your sales email isn't actually to sell your offer. It is simply to get somebody to check out the sales page where they are then going to make the buying decision. Think about it from, okay, this, I know I mentioned this company a lot, but I'm obsessed. Bath and Body Works. Okay. They send me at least one email a day, potentially two emails a day, telling me all about how their three-way candles are on sale or their hand soaps are on sale or whatever it may be. The goal of that pretty fancy sales email is not to get me to immediately add some soaps or some candles to my checkout. The only goal of that sales email is to let me know that there is a sale going on, whatever product it may be that's on sale today. There's always something. this product is on sale, this offer is going on, this promotion is going on, and then to get me to click over to their website to then browse the products and make a buying decision, or to head into the store and look around, smell everything, and make a buying decision. The same thing is true for your sales emails. The goal is to inform. The goal is to let the reader know that something is happening, that there is an offer that is currently being launched, there's a promotion that's currently being run, and if they want all of the information, if it sounds intriguing, to go check out the sales page. So I really want you to avoid talking about, this is all the wonderful things that I've packed into this program. You know, this is how it's going to be delivered. This is how the coaching is going to work. Try and avoid including that in your sales emails. Let the sales page do its job. And one of the best ways and easiest ways that you can do this is to actually create a checklist for yourself. Okay, what are the most important points that I actually need to hit in this email? Figure out what that is. Give your email a single sole focus and make sure that you are hitting that focus. And then direct attention as quickly as you can to the sales page. So my action item for you on the back of this tip is to get crystal clear on what your offer's promise is and why someone should care. Why should somebody care? How does somebody know that they are a good fit for this offer? Get really, really clear on that. What can you promise them? That is the most important information that belongs in your sales emails. That is the angle that you should always be taking. And, you know, the different subsets of that. Maybe you're talking about their objections. Maybe you're talking about their pain points. Maybe you're talking about the desired transformation. But if you can communicate in your sales email why somebody should care that this offer is being launched right now, that is the most important thing that you are trying to do, is communicate that. Then they're going to get all of the other information on your sales page. The next tip that I have for you, and this is not going to be anything new, so this isn't going to be a super long tip. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but it's to make writing sales copy easier by talking to one person. And then if you can, actually talk to them. Okay, maybe I haven't spoken about this part on the podcast before, but if you are feeling particularly stuck, we had a whole episode on this. I will link to it in the show notes, which episode it was. But we, you know, we did a whole episode on how one of the best ways to defeat writer's block is to actually speak to one person. Pretend as if you were writing to one person instead of a group of people or an entire audience of people. But if you're still feeling stuck after you've done that, then actually sit down and talk to them. Okay, sit down, use voice to text. It's in Google Docs. It's on your phone. Just do an audio recording and then send it to a transcription tool. Speak it out. Talk as if you were talking to that person. A lot of us will have gotten to a point now where, you know, if you really care about your offer, if you really care about this thing that you are launching and you really, really believe in it, you could probably get on a sales call with someone and talk about all of the reasons that it's amazing and why somebody should invest in it. At the very least, you can probably get on a call with one of your biz besties or your business coach and really talk about why this offer is amazing. So sit down and do that, right? Think about your ideal buyer. Think about the participant you would love to have in this program and sit down and pretend you were talking to them about it. Pretend you were sitting down literally in front of them and record yourself talking about it. So that's my tip and my action item for you on the back of that one, is to pick someone in your audience or your community who perfectly fits the offer that you are about to launch. And then pencil in some time in your launch schedule to actually record audio ahead of time. This can help you if you're doing the writing, if you have a VA or a copywriter on your team who's going to be doing the writing for you, if you're going to be outsourcing to a copywriter, this can really help you get those main points down pat. One of my clients actually does this for me for each and every email. I will message her ahead of time and say, okay, in this email, this is going to be our focus. And the easiest way for her to provide me the insights that I need is to actually sit down and record audio for each of that. So if I say the focus of this email is going to be this specific objection, how would you overcome it? She will sit down in front of her mic and pretend she's speaking to the buyer. She'll say like, "Hi, Megan, I noticed that you were hesitating on this program because you have this particular hesitation. Here's what I want to tell you about that." And then list it all out. And it feels so much more genuine that way. If you really struggle with sounding sleazy when you are overcoming objections, when you are selling your offers in general, imagine you are having an actual conversation. And I promise that if you can then apply that to your copy, you're going to write copy that you feel really, really, really freaking good about. It's no secret that one of the best ways to build hype for your upcoming launch is to use a waitlist. Waitlists offer you a great way to fill your email list with potential buyers who are not only a great fit for your program, course, or offer, but who are also already excited to buy. But a really effective waitlist page does a lot more than simply ask for your email address. That's why I created the waitlist page copy template. More than an opt-in form, but less than a sales page, this template helps you create a waitlist page that attracts perfect fit clients and ensures you're building an email list full of qualified leads so that you have a group of ready-to-buy people in your community come launch time. You can find it in the copy template shop at copytemplateshop.com under the sales copy category. That's copytemplateshop.com. So those are my best tips for the creation part of your launch. But let's actually talk about what you can do, because a lot of those things have to actually happen before you're launching, right? But what about the things that you can do while your launch is actually ongoing? How can you really make sure that you are adapting? How can you make sure you're adapting your messaging and adapting your strategy based on what seems to be working and what doesn't? And so even before I give you these tips, I really want to encourage you to, as you are planning your launch and as you are planning your launch schedule and your launch calendar, give yourself plenty of time. Give yourself plenty of white space in your calendar to fit these things in. Because the last thing you want to do is be on day 3 of your launch. Things aren't working. Sales aren't coming in. You know you need to change something, particularly probably with your messaging. But you are so swamped with client work or with, you know, pre-scheduled launch tasks that you don't have the time to sit back and think about these things and implement these things. So please afford yourself plenty of white space. If that means you have to outsource parts of your launch, then please do that. If it means you have to take a little bit of time off of client work in order to support your launch, please do that. Always afford yourself more time than you think you're going to need. So what other things can we do to make sure that we are putting our community and our audience first? First thing we can do is give people a chance to actually opt out of your sales emails. Okay? Not everybody's going to be interested in your offer. That is just the truth. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe it's not in the budget right now. Maybe they have very valid, they're not objections, they're not hesitations, they're actual genuine reasons as to why your offer is not the right fit for them. And for those people, I strongly encourage you to give them a chance to opt out of receiving any kind of messaging around that offer at this time. Maybe when you relaunch this program 6 months from now, it is going to be a good fit for them. We want to make sure that they're still in your audience and that we have shown them that courtesy and that respect, okay? So the really easy way to do this is to actually just add a PS to the bottom of some of your sales emails where you think people may be dropping off, where there is a potential for a high unsubscribe rate, and just add a little PS. You know, if you'd rather not hear about X name of offer in your inbox as I wrap up this launch over the next few days, I fully and completely respect that. Click here to let me know. Or if you already know that X offer isn't a great fit for you right now, that's totally okay. Just click here to let me know that you're not interested and I won't send you any more emails about it. And then where you say, you know, please click here to let me know, have that link to something, and it can just be a simple thank you page that you've thrown up on your website. If you don't have time to set up a thank you page, heck, just redirect them to the homepage of your website if that's all you have time to do. And have it set up in your email system so that whenever somebody actually clicks on one of those links, you tag them in a way that ensures you're not going to be sending them any more sales emails. If you use Flowdesk, which is my email provider of choice, this is a little bit tricky right now because they don't have full automations that a lot of other email providers have. So what you're going to need to do is set this up manually. So you put it in your email so that whenever somebody clicks on this link, it's going to redirect them to a specific page. Make sure that you aren't linking to that specific page anywhere else in the email. Otherwise, this is going to get messed up for you. So link them to, let's say, a thank you page that you've created. What you're going to want to do then is before you send your next sales email, or if you have them pre-scheduled, you have to go in before that email goes out. And Flowdesk will tell you exactly who clicked on that link. And then you're going to want to manually add them to a segment. I usually call the segment pause. And then I make sure that that segment is excluded from any of my sales emails going forward for the rest of that launch. So, action item, plan out all of the sales emails that you plan to send and figure out where it makes the most sense to give people the option to opt out. Sometimes it makes sense to do that at the heads up email that we just talked about. Sometimes it's in the open cart email. Usually it's not those last few emails that you're sending, because if they're still opening your emails at that point, they're probably interested in your offer. Final tip for you in this area is to ask your buyers what their objections are, but don't just do it before you launch. Actually do it during your launch, okay? If you are noticing that somebody in particular is asking you a lot of questions or is checking out the sales page and they haven't bought yet and you're not quite sure why, don't be afraid to message them. You know, ask them, what's stopping you? What's keeping you on the fence? And here's a hot tip that I like to do for one of my particular clients. If you might be familiar with the tool Hotjar. I've talked about it before. It's a really, really great tool for looking at heat maps and stuff like that on your sales pages. It also has really cool functionality that you can embed a poll on your website. So you can just ask a simple question and somebody will answer it. And so what we do is we actually set up a poll on the thank you page. So after somebody purchases our product during a launch, they get redirected to this thank you page and there's a poll that pops up that says, what almost stopped you from joining? Because chances are even the people who are joining, even the people who are saying yes to your launch, they probably had some objections. They probably had some hesitations. It probably wasn't like an immediate yes for them. If it was, they'll tell you. You know, we have had responses to that poll that just says, oh, I couldn't find my credit card. That always feels really good because we know that we've created something really amazing for them. But sometimes what they will tell you will surprise you. And in one case, when we did this on one of her launches, I remember that we were able to find one major objection. I cannot tell you what it was. I cannot for the life of me remember what that objection was, but it was something so glaring and so obvious, but we hadn't thought about it. It wasn't an objection that we were aware of or that we had anticipated. So what were we able to do? We had built plenty of white space into our launch to be flexible. So we were analyzing the results of this poll. We were looking at what people were saying. We were identifying this new major objection, and we wrote an impromptu sales email. Wasn't pre-scheduled, wasn't pre-written. We said, okay, this is clearly a big objection. We wrote a subject line, you know, so-and-so had the same objections as you, or X number of participants, whoever had joined at that point, had the same objections as you. And then we dedicated that entire sales email to that objection. Do you know what happened? We had a 34.2% open rate, which was incredible for us. And we got 285 sales on the back of that email. Now, maybe some of them were just, you know, sitting on the fence, hadn't been aware of our offer, but I'm willing to guarantee that at least some of those 285 buyers would not have purchased if we had not been nimble and if we had not been made ourselves aware of that objection. So how can you actually ask your audience what their objections are? It's going to depend on what stage of the launch you're in, right? So if it's before you've actually launched, use surveys, get on calls with people. You know, if I was to launch this offer, what would be standing in your way? What would make you hit pause? If it's during the launch, you can put a poll on your thank you page, like I just said. You can ask people in the post-purchase email if you don't actually want to set up a poll on your thank you page. When you go to deliver your program, ask them in that email, is there anything that almost stopped you from buying? Ask your social media following. Pop a question up on your Instagram stories, you know? If you haven't joined the program yet, is there something that's holding you back? Send an email out. What is holding you back? Don't be afraid to interrupt your sales emails, and especially if things aren't converting. Send out a little email that says, you know, I noticed you haven't joined yet. What's holding you back? End of story. Just encourage people to reply. Have conversations in your DMs. Do whatever you need to do to talk to your people. So that's the action item on the back of that tip, is make a plan to get clear on your buyer's objections. Don't just guess what they are. Guessing will get us to a certain point, right? We can always assume that we have time, money, or fit objections, but don't simply guess, because I can almost guarantee you are going to be missing something. So make a plan to actually get clear on what your buyer's objections are before you actually implement your launch. So that is it for today, friends. Those are all of my very best tips for you in terms of what you can actually do during your launch to really set yourself up for success and really make sure you are continuing to put your audience first. We are going to be back next week. It's going to be the last episode of the year. Oh my gosh. And we are going to talk about what you can and should be doing after your launch to make sure that your next one is even better than before. I'll see you back here next week. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Copy Dates podcast. I hope that this episode has helped you feel more confident in your ability to write copy and that you're feeling excited about sharing your message and offers with the world. If you love what you learned, be sure to hit that follow button so you never miss a future episode. And leave us a review so we can reach more online entrepreneurs who want to develop authentic connection with their audience through powerful copy. As always, don't forget to show me where you're tuning in from. Snap a pic, share it in your Instagram stories, and tag me at megantaylor.co. I'd love to connect with you beyond your headphones. See you back here next week. And remember, I'm rooting for you always.